Yeah, good. And he goes on to say that in discussion, for instance, of the problem of evil, he mentioned the ad hominem, but nevertheless, a useful point that an impersonalist philosophy cannot distinguish good and evil sufficiently, even to the, to raise the problem against Christianity. So if you have an impersonal philosophy where there is no personal creator, then as he argued early on, I think in chapter two, he refers to here, you can't have this issue of good and evil because there isn't any. You have to, have this kind of personality in order to have that. And that's what he's getting at here. So by impersonal, he means the materialistic philosophy where there is no personal, nothing that's personal in the universe. And as we saw last time, he talks about this ad hominem, against the man attack with regard to the problem of evil. And he kind of somewhat dismisses it, but he says it's legitimate because in reality, there is no, good and evil, that sort of thing. It's just how I feel about things and, an emotive kind of perspective here. He goes on to say that, as we have mentioned before, it's impossible to rigidly separate offensive from defensive and constructive apologetics. Negative criticism will not do much good, he tells us, unless at the same time we cogently present a positive Christian alternative. And so that's kind of what he's going to do here. Again, as I mentioned, he's covered some of these things already before.
Right, right. There's a reason that he put I think the gospel chapter kind of early on, because that's going to be a reference point that we're going to want to bring up as Christians. Offense is certainly essential to apologetics in the Bible. We see over and over again how Scripture goes on the attack against doubt and unbelief. Remember how Job wished to have an interview with God, but God surprised him by taking the role of the interviewer, the offensive position, exposing Job's ignorance. That's Job 38 and following. This was also important in Jesus' presentation of the gospel. In John 3, when Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, as suggested by the original Greek of verse 10, comes to Jesus by night, evidently hoping to have a cordial theological discussion. Again, we applaud Nicodemus for his courage, but also under the cover of night, small steps.
That's
okay.
Right.
Well, Jesus then sweeps away all the pleasantries and tells him that apart from the new birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Again, telling this to a Pharisee who knows the law, who should know the path to God, who should be the one in the temple clearing it out so that the Gentiles can come in, so that all nations can come in and worship the one true God. So, Jesus it doesn't give partial points here. So Jesus dismisses Nicodemus' whole way of thinking and demands that it be rebuilt on an entirely different foundation. Again, this is where the new birth kind of movement that I think it was Jimmy Carter, the born-again Christian,
yeah.
Made popular in the United States as coining the term. And now we don't want to associate with Jimmy Carter at all. But here, back to the, not to the basics of the law, but to the basics of life itself is what Jesus is calling Nicodemus here to. So much so that Nicodemus has to kind of, he seems to get tripped up because he's like, well, obviously you're not telling me to enter my mother again and be reborn again. What are you talking about? So he's very confused. But to his credit, he stays there, stays with Jesus. And we get the John 3:16 out of that conversation that's been so helpful at football games.
And so Frame is, making the point here that Jesus goes on the offensive.
Right.
Even in this situation where it seems like Nicodemus has just come to ask questions, right? He doesn't allow him to do that. He just jumps right on the basic issue, and he goes on the offensive with Nicodemus here. And so, that's Frame is trying to get us to see that this is part of the apologetic process.
Yeah. And we see just do this a lot in public. The lawyers and the Pharisees want to come and trap Jesus. And he goes, well, hold on, you answer my question first, or here, let me tell you about this and you'll answer your own question that you should know. And so, which person was more righteous, the the Pharisee, the lawyer, or the half-breed that we walk around at great lengths, not even to tread on the sand that they walk on, because we have this idea that, you know, a long time ago, they slighted our ancestors. And it's like, well, we don't want to say it, but also we'll say it. So here, Jesus, in a helpful way, it helps describes our offensive argument somewhat systematically, and hence the reason for this chapter that he gives us.
So that's what he wants to get into here.